Okay. Between the concept of agricultural rest and the concept of Shabbos, that which we know and love, the seventh day of the week, the day on which Hashem rested from his creation. What is the connection between Shemitah and Shabbos? Does anybody have any suggestions? Anybody think of any connections between Shemitah and Shabbos? Don't be afraid. Yeah. Very good. And by the way, isn't it so interesting that the number of times that the word Shabbos appears is one more than seven? It's eight. So if you look at actually biblical kind of academic type of writings, when this is called a milat mancha, a key word, which is meant to basically underscore the theme of a certain section in the biblical text. And whenever you have seven plus one, the Maharal actually describes this phenomenon. Seven is natural. Seven plus one is supernatural. It's above the natural order. 7 days of the week, right? And then on Shabbos, we have a neshama yesera, right? We go above the natural order. It's very interesting here that in the connection between Shabbos and Shemitah, and perhaps this is a foreshadowing of what we're going to see throughout the rest of this year, perhaps the Shemitah year is about stepping out of the natural order, reaching the supernatural realm of how to interact with HaKadosh Baruch Hu while we are in this world, while we are in the natural realm. So very good. Seven and seven. Anything else? Any other connections between Shabbos and Shemitah? I saw another hand before. Yeah.
I was going to say Shabbos is like the day of the rest, and Shemitah is the year of rest.
Beautiful. Okay, so you can jump to the next slide. Okay, so many of the Mefarshim pick up on this connection between Shabbos and Shemitah. And Binyamin, you were mechavin to some of the words of the Mefarshim. Rabbi Ovadia Sforno, everybody knows him in the name of his Perush, the Sforno, 16th century Italy. So he comments as follows. You don't have the text in front of you, but I'll read it for you. Shabbos Lashem, Shetihiyeh Kol Hashana, the entire year should be a Havtala Me'avodas HaAdama, a refraining from the work of the ground, muchenes la'avodaso, should be prepared, set aside for Hashem's worship. Kemu shekivein b'Shabbos Breishis Binyamin. Exactly as Hashem had in mind with the seventh day of the week. Be'omro Shabbos la'Hashem Elokecha. Says the Sforno that just as the seventh day of the week is a time during which we pull out from human mundane affairs, and we enter the realm of spiritual matters and focus on our relationships with God, so too the seventh year. What Shabbos is to the days of the week, Shemitah is to the counts of the year. And Rav Naftali Tzvi Yehuda of Berlin, the Netziv, in his Perush, HaMikdavar, follows on the heels of the Sforno and adds some precision to what exactly the Sforno is saying. The Netziv points out that both Shabbos and Shemitah are times during which we have free time, discretionary time, leisure time, you might call it, to focus on the Torah, on Talmud Torah, on Torah study. Put yourselves in the shoes of a farmer, someone who's thinking about his or her field the entire year, during the rainy season and during the harvesting season, praying for HaKadosh Baruch Hu to help him or her with growing their plants and growing their vegetables, always thinking about what they can do more to enhance their produce, how they're going to sell it in the market. Think about the mindset of such a person, always taken with the anxiety of the tomorrow. What's going to happen? Would such a person be able to have the freedom of mind to be able to sit down and concentrate on HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Torah? Says Hashem, take 1 year off and do just that. That's the seventh year, according to Rav Naftali Tzvi Yehuda of Berlin. Focus on my Torah. Focus on divine worship. I'm going to take care of your fields for 1 year, which is such a difficult challenge, says God. I'm going to take care of the fields, and I want you to focus on me. So what's really interesting here is that this connection between Shabbos and Shemitah and the idea that a time period during which we take off, we refrain from work and focus instead on God, on divine service, and in particular, studying his Torah. It's a phenomenon that we find in a number of places. This is not an isolated phenomenon, but as Mori Virabi, Rav Rosenzweig Shlita likes to use, the terminology he likes to use, it's a pattern. It's a puzzle. There are a number of puzzle pieces that you all put together, and they all reflect the same idea. We started off with Shemitah and the Sforno and the Netziv, who pointed out that the seventh year, free of work, is dedicated to Torah study. Shabbos also, the Mefarshim point out, based on the Medrash, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu designated Shabbos as a day of the week on which we would focus our energies on Torah study. This is recorded in Shulchan Aruch, that for people who do not have the opportunity to study Torah day and night throughout the rest of the week on Shabbos, that's their opportunity to delve into the study hall, to think about divine concepts and precepts and values. And lastly, Chol HaMoed, the in-between intermediate days, between the brackets of Yom Tov. What does the Talmud Yerushalmi say in Moed Katan, in Perek Beis, Simon Halacha Gimel? What does the Yerushalmi say? That the prohibition of malacha of work on Chol HaMoed was created, sheyihyu ochlin vishosin v'yigayin batorah, so that people can rejoice, they can have festive meals, and so that they can toil, as Rabbi Berman said this morning, in the words of Torah. So we have three repeated instances in which we have freedom from work, we pull back from everyday activity, and it's the same program that either the Torah or Chazal tell us in which to engage. And it's always the same answer, and that is Torah study. The Sforno, the Netziv, Shabbos, Chol HaMoed, the Yerushalmi, it's always the same answer. And the question for us is, why are we always given the same answer as to how to use our discretionary time? Why is it always Torah study? And I know what all of you are thinking and what you're all going to tell me. The answer is obvious. Because Talmud Torah is the most important mitzvah in our 613 mitzvahs. The Mishnah and Peah tells us that Talmud Torah keneged kulam. Talmud Torah is the most prime of all mitzvahs. So for people who don't have the opportunity to engage in that mitzvah at other times, of course that's what Chazal are going to tell them to do when they finally have the opportunity. But I think it's much, much more than that. Yes, that's true. Whenever we have the opportunity to fulfill the mitzvah of Talmud Torah, certainly we should do it. But Akiva, it's so much more than that. What I'm going to argue today, what I'm going to posit to you today, is that Chazal tell us that Torah study is the program, the answer to how to use our free, discretionary leisure time, not just because it's a fulfillment of an incredible mitzvah, but because Torah study is paradigmatic. It's exemplary. It teaches us core principles about how to use our leisure time whenever and whatever we are doing during it, whether it's learning Torah or whether it's not. It teaches us what types of activities to do, how to utilize that time based on these principles that it reflects. So now let's go through, I'm going to suggest three core principles that Talmud Torah, Torah study, basically establishes in teaching us how to use our leisure time, and we'll go through one by one what each of them is. The first of the principles of productive leisure is creativity. You see on your left-hand side, Jay Nash, who was a sociologist, a philosopher, in the early 20th century, around 1920, he came up with this pyramid. It's almost like a food pyramid of different ways that one could use his leisure time. And you go from the bottom up. So this is a hierarchy of how to use leisure time. And this is kind of the least qualitative all the way up to the most qualitative, the best way to use your leisure time. Now, he's not taking a value stance on this, but he's taking a production stance on this. Shosha Rashi Yeshiva. So Jay Nash points out that the lowest of quality on the leisure time options is spectatorist type. spectatoris, from the word spectator, is basically where we approach leisure from a spectator's perspective. We are outside, and there's something else that is grabbing our attention. If we think about that in the modern context in the 21st century, unfortunately, we are all too familiar with this with this category, because we have such, you know, we have probably an addiction to types of technology. You think about the world of the metaverse, how it kind of overtakes us when we're engaged in our leisure time. Right? We have our cell phones, and we have our computers, and we have everything around us. We are on the outside, and we let whatever programming is going on over there take us over. It envelops us. It basically engages us as a spectator. We're not using ourselves. That's the least qualitative of the ways in which we can use our leisure time. Then, says Jay Nash, there's another level called emotional participation, social networking, engaging with others, thinking about others, having conversations. The next is active participation, where, again, you have something on the external to you, but you are actively engaging in it. So one classic example would be sports and recreation. You have a game that's made for you, and then you yourself put your, you engage yourself in that, in, you know, in that structure. And the last is creative participation. Creative participation is where I don't function from the outside and take advantage of something else, but rather I create. And this is a concept that Rabbi Lamm, in his famous essay on a Jewish ethic of leisure, talked about, where he developed the concept of nofesh. Nofesh, where the Torah says, Shavas vayi nofash, HaKadosh Baruch Hu rested and was nofash on the day of Shabbos. What does that mean? Says Rabbi Lamm, the idea is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu created. We know that Chazal associate menucha, rest, on Shabbos with creation, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the concept of rest on Shabbos. That's what he created on the seventh day, this idea of nofesh, of bringing yourself to the table, creating, developing other aspects of your personality that you haven't had a chance to do throughout the rest of the week. Talmud Torah is perhaps the best example of how to be creative. What does the Gemara say in Avodah Zarah Daf Yud Tes Amud Aleph? Omar Rava, Betchila Nikreis Al Shemo Shal HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Ulevasof Nikreis Al Shemo. Ezra, when we study Torah, it's first HaKadosh Baruch Hu's. But when you delve into it, when you acquire it, when you've understood every nook and cranny, every part of the sugya, you've been able to delineate and understand the concept and apply it in practice, then levasof nikreis al shemo. It becomes yours. It becomes part of your personality. What do we say about Rav Chaim Kanievsky Zatzal? He was a walking Sefer Torah, because he embedded within his personality all of the Torah that he learned. It became a part of him. Shneamar b'toras Hashem cheftzo uvsoraso yehega yomam v'layla. You're going to study HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Torah first, but then it's going to become yours. Torah is a way in which we create our personalities. And thus, studying Torah is paradigmatic of this highest level of how to spend leisure time. It's a way in which we create ourselves on the highest of levels. And so, Talmud Torah establishes for us, it is the paradigmatic leisure activity because it exemplifies for us how to be creative as human beings trying to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Next is the principle of control. Take a look here at this quote from the National Library of Medicine. I hadn't heard of this until I did a little bit of research on this topic. There's actually something nowadays that's called internet addiction disorder. This is not listed in the DSM-5. My wife is a psychologist, so I had to mention the DSM-5. But it probably would be included in one of the already listed things in the DSM-5. We grow up, we now live in a world in which the internet takes up so much of our time that we lose control. And this is well studied. You don't need me to say this. We lose control over how many times we click and how many hours we spend using technology. The question for us is, when we're thinking about how to use leisure time, is, are we in control of that which we choose to do, or is that which we choose to do in control of us? And I thank Rabbi Penner for pointing me to this comment of Rabbi Steinsaltz, that who describes in his essay on Pesach and Shavuos that slavery is the condition in which a person is always subject to the will of another. And that doesn't necessarily need to be the will of another human being. It can be the will of anything else in the world. Freedom, chiros, that which we're experiencing in the current time period of our 49 days between Pesach and Shavuos. Freedom, on the other hand, is the ability to act upon and carry out one's own independent will. Using leisure time in the proper manner is all about maintaining control. It means I'm choosing what I would like to do, not being told what to do by an addiction that I have to something around me. It's a quick vignette about Rav Aaron Lichtenstein Zatzal that I've heard a number of times from different people in our yeshiva. He was once watching a Lakers-Celtics game in the 1980s. Anybody know Akiva? That's the main decade of the Lakers-Celtics rivalry, no? Okay. So I don't know if it's Magic Johnson, Larry Bird, is that the 80s or that was later? That was then? Okay, good. Okay. So Rav Lichtenstein was watching the game, and it was a close game. And, it gets to the fourth quarter. And we're counting down the clock, 8 minutes, 6 minutes, 5 minutes, 2 minutes, close game. And all of a sudden, leaves the room. And everybody's, what's Rav Lichtenstein doing? He came to watch the game. He's gonna leave the room right before the buzzer beater? How could it be? What Rav Lichtenstein understood was that even when engaging in a relaxing or leisure-like activity, what was of paramount importance was to maintain control of that experience. For Rav Lichtenstein to leave the room dafka when everybody was attached to the screen, that's what reflected this idea of ultimate chiras. What does the Mishnah and Avos tell us? Ein lecha ben chorin ela mi she'osek batorah. What does it mean? What do Chazal mean when they tell us that a free person is someone who engages in Torah study? I have these discussions all the time. With Chevra last year, I had this discussion. What does it mean that someone who engages in Torah is a free person? I thought a free person is somebody who could do whatever he wants, whatever he chooses. What does that mean? That I have to study Torah to be a free person? The idea is that if we truly inculcate within ourselves the value of Talmud Torah, we realize that Talmud Torah keneged kulam, there is no more important value. That's the highest on our priority list. So Chazal tell us that if you really want to be free, then you're going to be in control of yourself to be able to engage in Talmud Torah whenever you choose. That's the true Ben Chorin. That's someone who's in control of his time. And thus Talmud Torah is the paradigmatic leisure activity for that very reason. Not only because it's creative, as we saw before, but also because Ein Lecha Ben Chorin, Ela Mi She'osek BaTorah. It teaches us the value of control, of someone who rules over his time and doesn't let the time wash over him. And the third, the last, of the principles of productive leisure is that it must be values-based. Of course, in Yahadus, we have a hierarchy of values. And as we've been saying all along, Talmud Torah keneged kulam, there is no greater value than the value of studying Torah, of implementing Torah, of teaching Torah. I share with you a tshuva of the Rosh that I found when I was reading some of Rav Lichtenstein's writings. And the truth is, I saw this a number of years ago, I think probably by now around 10 years ago, and ever since then, I've always, this has been a part of me ever since then. The Rosh is talking about how we define a Talmud Chacham. When you and I think of a Talmud Chacham, we think of the greatest Torah scholars, those who have mastery over Shisha Sidrei Mishnah, over the values, and over the Halacha Lemaisa. But the Rosh has a fascinating comment when discussing and defining what is a Talmud Chacham when it comes to other certain types of laws, including exemption from taxes, which is totally not my topic today. So the Rosh says as follows, Hilkach. It's in the middle of the tshuva. We don't have time to go through the whole tshuva today. Kol adam she'oseh toraso keva u'melachto arai. Anyone who makes his study of Torah his main mission, u'melachto arai, his work is something that's more circumstantial to him. Kigon she'yash lo itim kevuim lilimudo ve'eno mevatlam klal. He has set time during which he's going to learn, and he does not give up on them. Ushar ayom keshuhu panui, when he's free the rest of the day, she'inu tzarech lechazer al mezon osav, he's not in need of working, he's not in need of trying to make sustenance. Hu chozer ala sefer, velomed, ve'inu mitayel b'shukim v'arechovos. He's going back to his siddarim, trying to learn his Torah. He's not going to waste his time in the marketplace. Ela kedei lehistaker parnasaso, parnasas anshei beiso. He does the very valuable activity, engagement in work, in trying to make a parnasa for himself and his family. Velo le'atzor leharbos mamon. He's not in the business of trying to be wealthy just for the sake of being wealthy. Lize ani korei talmid chacham. Mordechai. The Rosh just called someone who works most of his hours, most of his waking hours. He is trying to be mistaker parnasaso parnasas anshei beiso. Most of his waking hours, he's working. But he has a few hours left to his day before he goes to sleep. And he has a kavua seder. And what does he do? He goes back and he studies. He never gives up. He doesn't squander his time. Such a person is not just a role model. Such a person is not just, as we would say in our lexicon, a balabas, a learned balabas. No! He's a Talmid Chacham! So says the Rosh. Rav Lichtenstein, but the test is precisely what a person does with whatever time is left to him. He doesn't have a choice about going to work. He has to make a living. But when he comes home, he can decide whether to read the paper and watch television or whether to sit down to learn. Here, the question of what is primary and what is secondary comes to the fore. Says Rav Lichtenstein, based on the tshuva of the Rosh, you know why Talmud Torah is a paradigmatic, discretionary time activity? Because if you are truly someone who values Talmud Torah at the top of your list, Talmud Torah reaches the apex of your hierarchy of values, then that's what you're going to do when you have the choice. You're not just going to talk the talk, you're going to walk the walk by implementing Talmud Torah during your free time. And so Torah study, truly, bears out for us three core principles of productive leisure. First, it's creative. Second, it maintains control. And third, says the Rosh, and Rav Lichtenstein Zatzal, it is the paradigm of a values-based leisure time activity. So what about leisure outside of Torah study? Because I know most of us are not people who can sit and learn during every free hour and every free minute of our day. And the truth is, that's not something to be concerned about, and it's not something to be dismayed about. The Chofetz Chaim would blow out the candles in his yeshiva in order to make sure that his students had a good night's sleep and had time to relax. And of course, there's a wide array of legitimate leisure activities that we can take advantage of. These are just a few: sports and recreation, museums, reading and writing, art and music, social engagement, meditation. There are so many, the list goes on forever. It's not exactly as if Talmud Torah is the only thing that we can do during our leisure time. There are many other things that we can do. The point here is that Talmud Torah is paradigmatic of how we should be using our leisure time and what things we should be choosing to do. Even when we're not going to be studying the Torah, Talmud Torah tells us that there are three core principles of which to keep in mind. Are we being creative? Are we in control? And are we sticking and implementing to our values? That's exactly the point of how Talmud Torah bears out what leisure time is all about and what the Shemitah year is all about. So the takeaway for us today, and thank you so much for joining me, is that how we use our leisure time can reflect on our identities and our values. The Shemitah year gives us a chance to really re-engage our true selves. It's the 7+1. It's the opportunity to live within the supernatural realm and to focus on our relationships with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And Chazal tell us that during the Shemitah year, on Shabbos, and during Chol HaMoed, during all three, we focus on what? Talmud Torah. Why? Not just because it's a time to fulfill the mitzvah, but because Talmud Torah is the paradigmatic leisure activity. It reflects for us the principles that we can use whenever deciding how to use our leisure time, whether that's when we're studying Torah or whether it's when we're doing any other of the wide array of legitimate leisure activities. Are we thinking about what Talmud Torah highlights and reflects about creativity, control, and values? Wish all of you a great rest of the day.